First, trade disputes with China and other countries have saddled U.S. manufacturers with import tariffs during the last 2 years, forcing some companies to cut costs or pass the bill along to customers in the form of higher prices. However, the trade war has been good business for at least one industry, Washington lobbyists. Companies are looking to lobbyists to help them avoid tariffs, but that comes with a big price tag. Some business owners and politicians are worried it's created an imbalance between companies that can afford lobbying help and those that can't. Lydia DePillis is a reporter covering trade and the economy for ProPublica. Lydia, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So the trade disputes of the past couple of years, especially with China, have been challenging to many U.S. companies that import some or all of their products. What kind of services are companies looking to lobbying firms to provide?
So primarily what companies really need is specialized trade lawyers who can tell them exactly how to make the argument for an exclusion from tariffs. So just it's important to know that all of the tariffs that have been imposed so far come with an exclusion process. And it's a way in which companies can make their case to either the Commerce Department or the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative to say, look, we can only get this product from China. There's no way to get it anywhere else. It would be devastating to our company to have to pay the tariffs. And also, this product is not the target of Chinese industrial policy. It's not something that they're trying strategically to take over, like electric vehicles or certain types of computer chips. So they really need folks who know Washington and know the staff of the U.S. Trade Representative to make sure that they make their case perfectly. What a number of firms have also been doing is hiring lobbyists who are more specifically meant to make connections with lawmakers who can make, you know, strategic calls to the White House or other public officials to say, look, can you please take another look at my constituent company's application? So that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of help that they need.
And the lobbying industry is only required to disclose so much, but do we have a sense of how much more business they're getting since the trade disputes have started up?
Yeah, so we took a look at the number of clients that are lobbying on trade issues over time. And it was pretty steady throughout the 2000s, and then it jumped a lot, 28% from 2017 to 2018. And we only have data through September so far, but it's already almost surpassed the last year with another quarter of data pending. So we're pretty sure it's going to be head and shoulders above anything we've seen before. That's just the number of clients. It's too hard to tease out the amount of money that they are actually spending on lobbyists, but I think some of those bills are pretty high, just judging from a few that we've seen so far.
Only certain companies obviously can afford lobbying. One of those companies you wrote about was the Wisconsin manufacturer Primex, which makes temperature and time monitors. Can you tell us about their efforts to try and avoid the heavy toll that these tariffs are taking?
Yeah, so Primex has been out there pretty publicly trying to both demonstrate the impact of tariffs on Heartland businesses and also try to achieve exclusions for several dozen, actually up 200, they did 200 applications, which many of their products are very, very similar, so there may be some overlap in there. And they hired a firm called Michael Best Strategies, which has as its principals several Wisconsin political figures, or folks who've been active in the administration, Scott Walker, over time. And so that firm has been popular among many Wisconsin companies, actually. And it also has, as its chair of its board, I believe, Ryan Priebus, who was President Trump's first chief of staff way back at the beginning of the administration. So they do both sides. They both do legal help and composing of those applications and also the lobbying, where they do proactive outreach to public agencies, the White House and the Hill. And so they have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, the CEO told me, on this process, both in the form of staff time, trips to Washington, bills for those lawyers and lobbyists, and they've had mixed results so far. Some of their things have been approved, some of them have been denied. A lot of those approvals, the CEO told me, came after resubmitting their applications on the advice of their lawyers. So this is expensive advice, but it can really help if they receive an answer that gives them some guidance as to how they could improve their application, and so they send it back in again for another look. And they also got help from Senator Ron Johnson, who made a call to USTR, and the CEO told me also communicated their situation to the president himself as part of a number of companies in Wisconsin who are struggling with tariffs and the exclusion process.
We're talking right now with Lydia DePillis. She's a reporter covering trade and the economy for ProPublica. We're talking about how the tariffs and the trade war with China has been a boon for the lobbyist business. What about some business owners who have not been able to access the same kind of resources and support? You spent time with a South Carolina business owner whose products were affected by the tariffs. Tell us a little bit about Mike Elrod.
That's right. So Mike Elrod, he has a import business in Charleston that he sources small, efficient water heaters for several niche markets in China. And he's worked over the course of, 15 years to develop different models and improvements. And so the suppliers that he works with are pretty specialized, and he thinks it will be really, really hard to just pick up and move to some other country. But he also doesn't have a ton of extra cash to spend on legal help. So what he did was look at the applications that have been filed so far and try to do a similar job and follow the instructions as carefully as he could. And so he filed those applications himself. And then what happened was, also in this process, you can not only file for your own exclusions, you can also object to other companies' exclusions and say, don't give them that exemption. They don't deserve it. They could get their product somewhere else, or we could make it. So Mike Elrod's business is really small. He has like a dozen employees in South Carolina. His exclusions, though, were objected to by one of the world's largest producers of appliances, especially water heaters. It's a Japanese-owned company, and they do not even produce water heaters in the U.S. themselves. They produce them in Japan and export them to the United States. But their point was, obviously, water heaters come from other places, and Mike Elrod could get them there himself. And by the letter of the criterion that have been set out, that's true. And so Elrod's applications were denied. And even when he tried again to file them more specifically, make a little bit better case for himself, Rheem, this other big multinational manufacturer of water heaters, hired a specialized law firm in D.C., which happens to also employ several former U.S. Trade Representative officials, and they work formally on that account, but it's not hard to imagine they might have advised on how best to make their case, because some of those officials, in fact, did design the whole process.
So these smaller companies who probably can't afford to have the same kind of lobbying and legal assistance are already at a disadvantage, and then the companies that can might actually be trying to undercut them directly through these exceptions.
Exactly. And so it's important to point out that big companies are advantaged at all points of this process, like both by the tariffs, by dealing with the tariffs themselves, because it's easier for a multinational that might have manufacturing facilities in multiple countries to redirect their supply chains or contract with new manufacturers. So they have cash is able to buy you that kind of transition. And then also in this exclusion process, where you have a pre-existing lobbying infrastructure, perhaps, like this company, Rheem, already spends hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on lobbying. They have a dedicated in-house government affairs person. They understand how all of this works. Now, I just want to caution, it's not to say that all big companies automatically get their exclusions, or we don't even know empirically that they're more likely to get exclusions. It's just a hard data problem to crack. But and the process, I should note, is not over. I mean, they're still applying for exclusions, even renewals of exclusions for tariffs that have been in place for more than a year. So there are plenty of big companies that didn't get everything they wanted, but they did at least get the best chance possible.
And very briefly, Lydia, in about 30 seconds, this is also a big impact on the Commerce Department because of the increase in applications and exemptions. Are they even able to handle the workload?
So that's right. It's a really important aspect. I mean, this is a huge extra added workload for Commerce and USTR. They have now dozens of employees who are engaged in the work of making incredibly fine-grained decisions about what types of products should pay tariffs and what types shouldn't. And those are very specific and then probably a little bit arbitrary.
Thank you so much, Lydia, for spending time with us. That was Lydia DePillis. She's a reporter covering trade and the economy for ProPublica. We're talking about how the lobbying industry has benefited from the trade wars and the tariffs with China. Many large companies are employing lobbyists to ask for exemptions.